Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Yes, that's right. I'll be with you for the next 60 minutes. I certainly trust that you all have had a great week. I certainly have, and I'm very grateful to be on the air tonight because we are bringing you the show live, of course. And I've been certainly looking forward to this show. As a matter of fact, this show comes by way of special request. So we are doing this show tonight by way of special request. And I want you to know that the show is inspired by true events. Well, that is when we get into the story, inspired by true events. And, of course, all names are being protected to are presented. And the names are protected to save the innocent. So if it sounds like this, when we get into tonight's story, if for some reason it sounds like it might be your story, trust me, there are millions of people, millions upon millions of people that are going through the very same thing that you may be going through. So please, I encourage anyone who is listening, don't personalize these stories because they are based on and inspired by true events. I mean, if you just Google some people with relationship issues, you'll find amazing stories out there. You'll find amazing stories out there, and you'll be surprised. As a matter of fact, when you start finding these stories, you'll be surprised how similar they are to some of your own situations. So having said that, I want you to keep that in mind. Last week, we had a very good show. If you missed last week's show, you really missed a treat. You missed a thrill, in fact. And you will definitely want to tune in to the archives for last week's show. That show was so heated that we're going to do actually a part two for that show. So get ready. Tell your friends. We expect a large audience to be on next week. So you will definitely want to save the date, put it in your calendar for next Tuesday, except from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because you don't want to miss next week's show. It's a follow-up. It's part two. And it promises to be very good. We're going to go right in. You can check out my website at drjessewalker.com for products and services that I offer on there. We're going to go in and bring in Ms. Audrey Blake because we've got a great show for you tonight and we don't want to delay it. All right, Ms. Blake, all the way from Atlanta or wherever in the world she is, we're just going to go in and say, Ms. Blake, here's your opportunity to give your commercial.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hopefully everything is going well with you today, and I am calling from Atlanta.
Okay, great. Yes, everything is well. I trust you as well.
It is. It's a wonderful day. I'll be brief tonight because most of our regular listeners know that I am the author of a couple of books, but one of them being Falling in Love with Me, which deals with relationships and really how to choose healthy relationships and looking at factors that contribute to people not picking on, well, people being involved in unhealthy relationships. I am looking forward to, and I'll continue to give you more information, my appearance at the Decatur Book Festival, which is happening in Decatur, Georgia, which is Atlanta, essentially, in Labor Day weekend on September 6th. So I will keep you all posted on that. But it is a wonderful venue with lots of authors from all over the country. And I just feel honored to be a part of that. If you all would like to get in touch with me, I'm easily reached through the website contact page, which is fosteringleaders.org. Again, that's fosteringleaders.org. Or you can call our company phone line, which is 770-866-2162, 770-866-2162. I am available for speaking engagements, come to your book club, radio shows. Dr. Walker, occasionally you and I serve as a guest at different venues. So just feel free to get in touch with me.
Sounds real good. Awesome, awesome. You know, I really enjoy hearing about things, and this upcoming festival, it sounds real good.
Thank you.
Books are out there. So that's very good. It's like, I'm very happy to hear that you're doing a lot of positive things in the community, and I encourage you to keep that up.
Thank you.
All right. Are you ready for tonight's broadcast?
Yes, I am. Always ready. Looking forward to an exciting show.
Yeah, last week we had a pretty good show as well. I thought last week was very good. I thought it was right on point. And it proved to be quite interesting, in fact. And sometimes I like to just give a recap on the previous week's show of things that we talked about. I mean, we've done some of everything, and I told the people that next week is going to be a part two of that show. You recall anything that we talked about on last week's show?
Yeah, it was a very interesting show with lots of differing opinions. You know, just looking at, I think, the female, the lady that always seems to be angry, and looking at maybe what were the causes of that type of response and personality.
Yeah, last week we got into heavily into the topic was actually, why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships? And I thought that that was a very, very heated topic. And as a matter of fact, it was very debatable. It was debatable. And we're going to do a part two on that next week. So I am certainly preparing and getting ready for that, as I trust that you are. And that's on next week. So I'll remind all of our listening audience out there, let your family and friends know so that they can tune in to that broadcast. And save the date, because you don't want to miss that one. And it promises to be a very good one. It promises to be a very good one. All right. All right. Haven't said anything else you want to add to that, Ms. Blake, before we go to the story?
No, I was just simply going to agree with you that it will be a good show. And it's, you know, really good for people to listen to these shows, because it helps, hopefully helps them to start to maybe look inside themselves, or, you know, be of assistance to people they know.
So. Okay, yes, that is very important. And tonight we've got an interesting topic that's coming forth, and this is going to be for people also to take stock of themselves. This is going to be very, very important for people to take stock of themselves. So as I present tonight's story, it's very important that the listening audience really, really tune in and pay close attention to what, you know, what's actually being said. That becomes vitally important. So please keep that in mind, because I'm sure that our listening audience is going to have questions. They're going to have some serious questions about some issues that we discuss. So that's going to be a very important component. All right, you ready? You haven't said that. Are you ready, Ms. Blake?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, we're going to get ready for tonight's topic. All right, our characters in tonight's story are Zelda and Anthony. Zelda and Anthony. Now, before they were married some 6 years ago, Zelda and Anthony met in their junior year of college and have been together now, including marriage, for 8 years. The union of their marriage has brought three small children. Their marriage appears to be strained at this point because of the heavy responsibility of raising children and trying to have a marital relationship when quality time is of the essence. Now, the strain of the marriage has now caused Zelda and Anthony to reach outside of the marriage to family members and friends as they complain about the other's shortcomings in the marriage. Now, these issues have also been addressed to each other, but seemingly have fallen on deaf ears. Now, Anthony is constantly complaining, his concerns are, he's constantly complaining that Zelda is not there for his intimate needs, and she fails to keep herself up most times to appeal attractive to him. Now, he compares her to other women in the workplace or those he sees at the malls. Excuse me. Now, Zelda, on the other hand, complains that Anthony does very little around the house to try and help her with anything, including preparation of the kids for daycare or bedtime. In her mind, it appears that all he is interested in is her meeting his needs and expects her to always look like she just came out of a glamour magazine. Now, she feels it's hard to maintain her hair, her nails, her makeup, because she works as hard as he does and still has to work equally as hard without his help at home. The couple is now in counseling for their fifth session and have both discovered something. They now realize that if they find a happy medium, they could both get what they want, starting by listening to the other's complaints and taking a proactive approach towards that. Now, the question is that we start out with tonight. Ms. Blake, and I start out asking you this question. Do you think a proactive approach could work for them at this point?
Well, that's a good question. I'm really just trying to get a better grip on what's going on in their marriage, because it sounds like she's not really taking care of herself like she should, and he's a little displeased about it.
Wait, say that again, Ms. Blake. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a grip on the story. I'm so visual, so I'm trying to get a grip on the details of the story. But, you know, so you saying, is it too late for them to take a proactive approach? But
yeah,
I'm
do
just
you think a proactive
to,
approach, that's what they're in counseling, and this is their fifth session in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're trying
mm-hmm.
to do now is they both have discovered something, recently discovered something. The couple is now in counseling for the fifth session and have both discovered something. They now realize that if they find a happy medium, they could both get what they want, starting by listening to the other's complaints and taking a proactive approach towards that. So in other words,
okay.
You know,
they've
got these complaints about each other, but now they just realized something in that fifth session of counseling that, hey, you know what, I got it
okay.
now. I got it now. I she
okay.
said, yeah, go ahead.
And I've got it. So, okay,
okay,
I've got the vision now, so to speak. Okay. Yes,
right.
They can benefit from that. I think it's always good to be proactive. A lot of times people are reactive, but whenever you can be proactive to head something off or try to bring about a solution, I think that's always a good thing.
Right. So do you think that they could work things out at this point by taking proactive work? And I agree, because, you know, it took several sessions in counseling, and, you know, it's great, thank God, that they did decide to go to counseling rather than throwing in the towel on their marriage, because they realize now, hey, it finally dawned on me. She's probably thinking that, hey, it dawned on me that he's saying that I'm not keeping myself up. You know, and how can, and now it's dying on him, how can I keep myself up when, you know, I got three small kids and I work
right.
a full-time job, and then when I come home, I got to cook and clean and take care of the kids. And that can send anybody probably crazy if you're not getting some
right.
help around the house. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, what about,
yeah.
right, and let me throw this one out. What about a situation if it were where, you know, the man is helping her out around the house. He's doing as much as she's doing with the kids, and the needs are not still being met. What if that was the case with Zelda and Anthony? Then, and of course, it could go either way. What if now
right.
he's saying, you're still not meeting my needs? What do you think in a situation like that? Is there still hope for that marriage? I think it is.
There is. There's always hope when, you know, there's something key in the story, and it's the fact that they discover something that they can find a happy medium. So that tells me that both of them are willing to work at it. You know, she's not saying too bad. You know, both are willing to see what can be done to help make the situation better.
That is so good. That is so good. And we're ready to momentarily go to our phone lines. So we're certainly ready. Let's see if we've got some callers that would like to contribute to anything that was said on tonight's broadcast about the story. If you want to chime in, please, of course, press 1, and we'd love to hear from you. Tonight's topic is, as you complain about your significant other, are you really doing your part in the relationship? As you complain about your significant other, are you really doing all of your part in the relationship? Because, you know, Ms. Blake, there are often times when people complain about their significant other. And in this case, Zelda and Anthony reached out to family members and friends, and they're complaining about the other one. But, you know, chances are there's a good chance that they're not actually doing all of their part to make the relationship even better. So let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 205-908, and let's just find out what's on this caller's mind. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air this evening? Welcome.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack.
Hi, Ms. Blake. Hi, everybody. Everybody's okay?
We're doing great.
We're doing just great.
Tell us,
Jack, what do you think? You know, as one person is complaining about their significant other, do you think sometimes people might be missing out on doing their real part in a relationship?
Say that again now. Do I think what now?
When a spouse or a significant other might be complaining about their significant other, do you think that they may fail to recognize their own shortcomings in the relationship?
Oh, without a doubt. A lot of times the things that we complain about is the things that we actually do, and we're not aware that we're doing those things all. So somebody needs to make us aware the things that we're complaining about, that's basically who we really are. And the way that you complain against your significant other or against just somebody else, that's the same thing that you're doing. Let's say, for example, you have a certain type of an attitude, and you're complaining that your significant other has an attitude or whatever. And you're probably the one that has the attitude more so than that significant other does. So that's how I see it. That's from my standpoint. I didn't get a chance to hear the entire story. I mean, I didn't get a chance to hear the story at all. I was just trying to piggyback off a little bit of what I heard from what you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. All right, we're going to go to 305-684. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hey, Dr. Tim. Dr. Walker, this is Tim. How you doing, Ms.
Tim,
Blake?
Thank you.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Tim, did you get a chance to hear tonight's story?
Actually, no, I didn't hear the story, but the topic itself says a lot. And
As you complain about this, let me just reiterate the story just briefly here. The story tonight, in case those of you all that are just joining us that may have missed out on tonight's story, it's characters are Zelda, spelled with a Z, Zelda and Anthony. Now, this couple met back in their junior year of college, and they've been together for a little over 8 years altogether, but they've been married now for the past 4 years. I mean, for the past 8 years, that's right. They've been together for a total of, I think it was 11 years. Anyway, what happened is they've got 3 small children, and now they're having problems in their marriage. There's a strain on their marriage because Anthony is complaining that Zelda is not keeping herself up. He's complaining that she doesn't do her hair, she doesn't do a lot of things, and she's complaining that he does not help her around the house, even when it comes to taking care of the children. So they both have what may seem to be legitimate complaints, and now they're in their fifth session of counseling. They are now in their fifth session of counseling, and they both have just discovered something, that if they can reach a happy medium, there's a good chance that they can both get what they want. Zelda feels that all Anthony's interested in is her meeting his intrinsic needs, and he's complaining that she doesn't spend enough quality time with him, which all seems legitimate. All seems like a legitimate complaint. So now it's discovered, they've discovered that maybe if Anthony, maybe what dawned on him or registered, the light bulb went off, that, hey, if I do more to help her around the house with the kids, so forth and so on, maybe that will create some hours of us having some relief time. So that's where we are in the story. And then we ask the question, do you think that a proactive approach, which is what they're trying to do now, would that work? And Ms. Blake and I both agreed that it would. Now my question is, what if one spouse is doing, they're helping each other, and then that quality time and those complaints are still legitimate, even after counseling sessions? Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go 407-202. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air?
Dr. Walker, you have Jay from Orlando. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Jay. Thank you for joining us this evening, Jay. Jay, what do you think?
Well, you know, this is a very interesting topic, but one thing that I'd like to understand is why is it that the woman isn't taking care of herself? Because I feel that a lot of times when a woman takes care of herself and does certain things at home, it kind of motivates the man to want to help out a little bit more. Hey, you know, I'm looking nice. You know, I want to do something tonight. That man, he's more prone to help get the kids in bed, help him get up in the morning, do what you have to do so that he can get his little, have his little fun that night. So what is it that's causing that woman not to want to care for herself? Could you answer that?
Well, I'm going to, not being a woman, but I'm going to give my opinion as a man, and then we'll bring Ms. Blake in and maybe give it maybe from a female perspective, and then maybe a general perspective as well. And my generality on this would be that although the man sees, you know, as a man, perhaps we see things, you know, visually and saying, why isn't she taking care of her hair? You know, she knows that I'm coming home. But then with her, in her mind, as she travels home from work, she may be thinking, and Ms. Blake, you can help me out on this, she may be thinking, gosh, what am I going to stop by? I got to stop by the store. I got to get dinner. You know, I've got to get the kids, or even if he's gotten the kids. You know, I've got all these things. In her mind, she may be thinking, multitasking, I've got to do all of these things, and then I've got some work that I've carried home that I've got to also conclude. That's 2 hours. And then, you know, I got to do the family stuff. So, you know, while the man is looking for her to look good, it may not be thinking the same way for her. Ms. Blake, we're going to bring you in and get your thoughts on that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, those reasons may be very legitimate ones. A woman may feel overwhelmed. I think it has to do with her really making herself a priority. I mean, I can look back at my married years and raising children, and even as a single mom raising children after divorce, I guess it has to do with where you value and where you place your priorities, because, you know, I'd always find the time to go get my hair done, find the time to, you know, relax. But not all women do that. You know, some women, as you say, they get kind of caught up in the overwhelming responsibilities. And then they're exhausted by the end of the night as well. So I think part of it has to do with her really making herself a priority. And that doesn't mean that she's selfish or not a great wife or mother, but, you know, really just saying, look, I have to have some me time. And that's something a lot of women have to learn how to do.
Okay, well, you know, I think, and we'll give Jay a chance to come back in and the other gentleman to come back in as well. And he's looking for how do you motivate a woman to do that. And I think motivation is intrinsic. It comes from within. If a question is how do we inspire them, and I think I agree with part of what you're saying, Ms. Blake, that the woman has to value herself as a priority. But I, you know, and I think that when she does, she will look good, and that will, you know, offset it to for the man to say, oh, she looks good, you know, she's taking care of herself.
And she'll do it out of love, Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. She'll do it out of love. You know, if her spouse comes to her and says, you know, you're just not meeting my needs, or, you know, I notice you're just not keeping yourself up, you know, a wise woman will pay attention to that because you want your marriage to work and you want to do things to make your spouse happy or your companion. So that's the kind of thing that should catch a woman's attention. She should be motivated out of love.
Right. You know, and listening to what Jay is saying, and I tend to agree strongly that there are times when people just, men and women, they just will not take care of themselves, and they feel that they're highly motivated within, intrinsically. But by the same token, they're not going to do anything to, you know, anything extra because they figure they've got that man or they've got that woman. And that's where I have a problem when you start to, even if you're not motivated, no matter what you got going on, it's not just all about you, you know, the woman or the man. It's about, hey, I've got this, you know, there's a duty. There's a duty on both parts. And so I think it becomes an interest for both parties to say, you know what, I need to look good for my man. And if he's saying that, or I need to look good for my woman, and if they're telling you about that, I think that that helps. Now, Jay, what I would like to say is maybe sometimes it might be inspiring to say, well, baby, here's a day for you to go get your hair done, you know, in a loving way. What do you think about that, Ms. Blake? And then we'll bring Jay in.
I think that that's a good thing. Or here's, you know, here's a card to the spa, and you can have a full spa day, hair, nails, everything, if they can afford that. I think that's good. That's one way of doing it. Yeah, and hopefully a woman will receive that. I mean, she may be like, well, what are you trying to say? You know, it's like giving somebody a card to Weight Watchers. But you need to approach the subject and just be straightforward with it.
You know, and I like that what you're saying. If I give you that card for Weight Watchers, I've already had the discussion that, baby, I didn't meet you this, you know, like this. And I know that I might have gotten a stomach, you know, and I need to work on that. But why don't we work on this together? So I've got you a card. I got me a membership also for the gym. So why don't we do this together? What do you say about that? So that's an approach.
Right.
Jay, let's bring you back. Right. Let's bring you back in here, Jay. Then we're going to go to 917, and then we're going to go back to Jack. Jay, what are your thoughts?
Well, this show is really interesting. Well, what happens when the man is taking care of himself and, you know, no matter what he tries with the woman, tries to motivate her, she just she does nothing to help her appearance. What then? I mean, man's taking care of himself. There are lots of women that wants a man that is taking care of himself, working, has a good, decent job, but that woman just isn't motivated.
Right. You know, there may be some, this is just my thought, we're going to bring some others in and give their opinions. Jay, it could be some underlying things that are going on. I mean, you oftentimes, like they say, when something may be psychological or medically wrong with us, they go to the culture, the family culture. And then when there's psychology issues, we go all the way back to the early childhood stages. And it could be that, and I say here, you may want to go back to the dating stages to see what it was like when you all were dating and see, you know, did the woman keep herself up? Did the man keep himself up every time you dated? And then dating is different because now you don't live with each other and you see each other every morning for the reality of what it is. And so now what happens is, there's some underlying things that may be going on. Once a woman starts having children, I mean, her body is going through something completely different that's foreign to her. And the more she has, I mean, the more stress or strain. I don't know. I'm not a woman. But I'm just psychologically speaking, there are effects that will take place on a woman. And then what starts to happen is, you know, it could be something that's depressing her. So there may be some therapy that's needed for her to help her out. Jay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to Jack. Let's bring Jack back, and then we're going to go to 917-399.
Very good points that Jay was making. I think you hit the nail on the head with your advice that you gave him. If the male is really taking care of himself,
and he's helping out around the house, and then the significant other is not showing as if she's going to take care of herself. She's allowed herself to go down. Then what you said, it could be some underlining things, because I'm sure she wasn't like that during the dating phases of it. I'm sure she made herself presentable, you know, all the time, especially when they were going out. So, and as I've said many, many times before, the courtship is supposed to continue in the marriage. You don't stop doing the things that you did, you know, when you were courting to get her. A lot of times when we get the person, you know, we tend to allow ourselves to go down. And that's not how it should be. Just like you went all out to try to get her and she went all out to try to get you, both of you need to continue to keep yourself up. I like what you said, like if you have that stomach, and I think Ms. Blake said it as well, then you give them a little card and say, here, why don't you go and get your hair done? Why don't you go and do the weight loss and do what you need to do to get to aspire and get yourself, you know, take care of yourself and all. I'm out here walking right now because I have a little pulge. Right, I can tell that I have a little pose. So I'm out here walking because I want to make sure that I'm always presentable, not just for my significant other, but it's for me too. It's something that I want to do. I want to look presentable. It's not just about for my significant other. I want to be presentable all the time in front of people and all, because I've always took care of myself and I always want to take care of myself. And my significant other, I hope the same thing with her as well. So that's how I'm looking at it. And I think it was a very good point that he was bringing out. And maybe some underlining things, just like you said, and she might need to go ahead and see a psychologist or see some type of a doctor or whatever. Maybe that's what's causing the problem.
Okay, I think that's very important. Let's go to Jag. We appreciate those thoughts. Ms. Blake, you want to come in just before we go to 917?
No, let's go ahead and go to 917.
All right, we're going to go to 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, what's your take on this? You know, oftentimes people are complaining about their significant other, and then they're not doing all their part in the relationship.
Well, Dr. Walker, I'm sitting here listening to the show, and it's a great topic, and I'm laughing. I'm laughing at myself because I'm going to kind of make this short. My husband and I have been married for 22 years, and we both have changed. Neither one of us is never going to look the way we did when we first met each other. I don't care how much we exercise. I don't care how much we eat right, how much we juice, because we've tried different things together to try to get it off of us. It's not going to work. But what I will say is I tried something. I think I'm going through like a transition. My husband, he smells good, looks good, dressed good. He's always been that way. But I feel like I'm a plain Jane. I always do my own hair. I don't waste money getting my nails done because, to me, that's money that I can keep in my pocket. The same with going to the hairdresser. It's money I can keep in my pocket. He offers to get my hair done every once in a while. Now that I'm older, I don't have perms anymore. I wear an afro. I went back natural. And sometimes, you know, I take the time out to comb it, brush it, blow it out, press it out, to try to make it look, you know, kind of like it's relaxed, have a perm. But that's not me. I feel like now that I'm older, I'm changing. I adapted to, I heard where you don't need to take a shower every day. And it was this thing on Facebook where people were talking about this. It was on the news. And I started doing that because they said that you don't need to take a shower every day. So my husband was like, hold up, you're not going to take a shower every day? I said, no. So he didn't know I had already incorporated it, right? until one day when he got sick, and he couldn't. He recently broke his ankle. And he didn't take a shower for like 2 days. And I had a helper. I was like, oh, man, I'm never, ever going to do that again. I'm going to wash my behind every day because I didn't like the way he smelled. And I was like, I'm sorry I put you through that. It's like the age you go through when you get a certain age, when you're trying different things and you're learning about, like, deodorant, if it has any pressing in it, it kind of causes cancer. And you start to find out all these different things that you're using that you don't really need. Like, just soap and water is good. So, you know, it's funny that you have this topic going on today, and I'm thinking about some of the things that I've done And he just be looking at me like, what is wrong with you? But he loves me enough that he experienced it with me and went through everything with me. And we laugh about it. Like, we crack jokes on each other. He'll tell me if I don't smell right. And I'm like, oh, you cutting A today? And he'll be like, well, now you see how I feel when I didn't take a shower 2 days. So now I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm back to the showers again. I just wanted to share that. I'm sorry.
But, you know, thank you for sharing that because, Ms. Blake, you know, as she's sharing that, I'm thinking sometimes people have to walk in your shoes to get a fair assessment of what's really going on with you. And so by her now walking in her husband's shoes, now she has that fair assessment, and she's already said she will not do that to him again. What are your thoughts? I mean, is she like on point? Huh?
Oh, definitely. I think that was a good experience, and I appreciate, I always appreciate you sharing your stories with us on the air. So because a lot of people won't be that open, and I think that's what it takes is people keeping it real. So, yeah, I think that's good. Sometimes you don't understand the other person's perspective until you experience it, and then you get their point.
All right, my second question, and thank you for that, Ms. Blake, and again, also thank you. We're going to bring Jackie in just a moment, but let's bring Jay back in for a second. And I'm still kind of toying with my second question, and that is, what if the spouse, you know, whether it's a male or a female, is doing all of the things need to be done around the house, and that other significant other still, let's just say it's a man. That woman is doing everything around the house that she needs to be doing, and he's still not taking care of himself, or vice versa. You know, and I just don't believe you can motivate anybody. You perhaps inspire them, but because I think the motivation comes from within. They got to find the reason to come out of their depression. And let's just say that it hasn't been identified because you're asking, is there something wrong? Is there something I did? And sometimes you can tell when they haven't done anything, and you can tell sometimes when you have done something. But what if they're doing everything that they know to do, and you still got those problems, like Jay said? And so, Jay, let's bring you back in here. What if you're doing everything, you know, that you know to do, and your significant other is still not keeping themselves up? And then I'll give you my thoughts after you give us your thoughts.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you do have to look into, you know, the mental health of that person. That person may be going through depression, male or female, going through depression. And, you know, you need to get them some help. But with all of that being said, we are human, and humans have needs, physical, emotional, spiritual needs. And, you know, you have to keep in mind all of those things. Nobody got married, male or female, to be with somebody that's not holding up their end of the bargain. And I just don't feel like people should be unhappy. Life's too short.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jay, I want to say something, Jay from Orlando, and thank you. And that is, you know, and Angela put it out there earlier, she didn't realize the effect it had on her husband until, you know, he was injured and he didn't bathe for a few days. Then she realized, you know, this is uncomfortable. And I experiences, life experiences taught me, you really never know what a person is going through unless you're actually able to walk in their shoes. Sometimes it might seem that there's not a mental issue going on or something there, but there's something that has changed. And oftentimes what we fail to do is, we fail to find the rationale or the reason why that change has come about, the legitimate reason, not necessarily what that person is telling you, but the real reason, what's really going on, and the person may not even know it themselves. That's the thing. They may not even be aware of it because there's a metamorphic period that we go through that we don't even realize we're going through it. And unless you actually walk in someone's shoes, for example, someone who, let's say, had surgery, you know, breast cancer or any other type of cancer, and you're there as a caregiver. It could be a spouse. And that person needs are magnified. And let me tell you something. Something as simple as, listen, baby, can you rub my back, you know, more? Can you do this for me? what may have seemed to be so insignificant becomes paramount to that person who's going through this. And then unless you're like, well, where did this come from? Let me tell you something. Another person who's gone through that similar type of surgery, those are the people, and that's why they have support groups out there. Those are the people that clearly understand what that person is going through. Why is it like that? I have no idea. But life experience has even taught me that unless you are actually going through something, you don't have a clue of what that person is, because they themselves, it's foreign to them. Let's bring Jack in just for a second. Jack, give us your thought on that. Does life experience, I'm not assuming that you're over 30, does life experience bring anything along the lines of what I talk about perhaps?
Well, I was just thinking, I was listening to Jay, and he's making some valid points on the things that he's making. I like what Angela said, too, because she does keep it real. I mean, she doesn't care. I mean, she doesn't hold anything back. Like most of us, we tend to hold things back, but she keeps it real. She comes out and she tells you about situations that happen within our life, and then we all can identify with that, because even your topic tonight is something that I think most men have gone through, where the significant other, the wife, will say to, well, you know, if you want me to be there for you, you need to make sure that you, you know, you help me out. So you help me out so we can be ready for each other later on. But if I got to do everything, I'm going to be extremely tired, so I'm not going to be ready for you at all. So I think all of us have gone through that basically and all. But here's the thing that I wanted to say, and that is that we can't do no more than what we know. So if you don't know that you need help, then that significant other who's seeing what's going on, they should be able to tell you, and then you should be able to listen and then go and try to get some type of help, even if you have to go with them to try to get that help. Now, I had a friend to tell me the other day, I'm not changing gears, but I'm just talking about this for a moment. He said that he and his friend, okay, they were thinking about getting married somewhere down the line, but she told him that he needed to do some things before they can actually get together and have this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship at all. So she moved away. She came back about maybe 6 months later. So she told him that he didn't do those things, so therefore she can't see how the relationship going to progress. So in other words, she was giving him that gift of goodbye. So he shared all that information with her. I said, okay, she shared that with you, but what did you share with her? He said, no, I just listened to her. I said, no. Not only marriage, but even a friendship is a two-way street. I said, just like she shared with you some things that she wanted you to do, you have to share with her some things that you want her to do. And I said, just by looking at her now, I said, I got a chance to see her. You could have said to her, I was just frank with him. I said, you could have told her, well, I want to see you losing some weight. I want to see you doing this. I want to see you doing that. So he looked at that. He had to really evaluate that and look at the whole picture, because she was only giving him, I said, if you start off in a relationship like this, it's going to end up that she's calling all the shots, and you're not going to want that when you come to your senses and all. So just like she's giving you stipulations in this relationship, you have to give her something as well. I just want to share that.
Okay. All right.
Hello?
Yeah. Jack, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, Ms. Blake, you want to comment on that?
I think those are very great points. I was listening to Jack, and those are excellent points. In fact, it just made me think of, you know, situations and relationships where, you know, someone may have said, well, you don't do this, you don't do that, or I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And, you know, I listen and definitely would take the time to try to see how can I adjust. But one of the things I often say is, now, what is it that you're going to try to work on? And I say that not
That's
to
good.
Point fingers, but to help them to realize that this is, as you said, it's a two-way street, even in a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, I'm not perfect, but hello, you're not either. So it doesn't need to be one-sided, where that person's constantly trying to get the other person to improve and become what they want them to be, when
mm-hmm.
they're not looking introspectively to say, now, how can I make things better? You know.
That's right.
Right.
I think that that's a very interesting point that both of you all are bringing out. How can I? It's always because I believe that when there's a particularly in a marriage, there's a duty. I believe there's a duty owed. There's a fiduciary duty that's owed to both individuals in that marriage to each other. And I think that that does become a priority. And I think part of that duty is to make sure that your significant other is reaching their maximum in terms of health, welfare, well-being, in every aspect. I think that that's part of the duty, to ensure that your significant other is maximized in every way possible that you can earthly possibly do. And that's owed to each other. So, and by the same token, when someone is falling short, you may feel that they're falling short over the course of the time of the span of the relationship or the marriage. Then I think that getting to the why are they falling short, recognizing that sometimes we ourselves fall short too. We ourselves fall short. And I think that that's where we need to start recognizing that. Am I falling short? Have I now looked outside of where I am to judge the inside of where I am? Now, when we go beyond, I always say, you know, when it comes to marriage or relationships, if you want that, you go, you do 100% and beyond. And that beyond becomes the mystery, because there's always something to learn that you didn't know before. So that's the beyond part. Now, I will say this, Jay, and I hope you're listening. If you've done everything humanly possible that you know, or if the spouse, in this case Zelda, if she's done everything humanly possible that she knows to do, and you're trying to, as best you can, to get to the why, and you're not getting the cooperation, then it may be time that you need to reevaluate yourself and your relationship, and you need to let that person know. Now, doing all that you can means counseling, therapy, getting the physical exams for that spouse and yourself. And I think either Jack said it or Ms. Blake said it, what can I do in a loving way to make us better? And that duty owed to each other is meaning I got to go as far as I can, as long as I can, as humanly possible as I can, because that's what love is at the end of the day. Those are just my thoughts. Let's bring Angela back in. Angela, did you want to comment? We're going to take some of the comments that have come into the studio, and we're running out of time. Angela?
Hang on a second.
All right, Jay, we'll bring you right back in. Is Angela still with us? No, looks like she's not. Jay, go ahead.
Okay. You guys have given some great advice. I don't know, maybe because I asked a question, but it seems to be centered around my question. But I was waiting for you to bring me back in just to bring this point out. I think that the Bible had it right with regard to marriage. You know, in today's society, we're busy working, we're busy raising kids. There's little time to help each other around the house. And that's why I think the Old Testament had it right, where if you had two wives, you really could get her some extra help in that house. And when one doesn't feel like it, the other one can step right in.
Really, Jay?
What do you think about that?
Really?
Well, Jay, Jay, give us that scripture when you can, but let me just say, he won't get an argument from me, because I kind of think, lean towards that a man's supposed to have seven wives, and that might be a cultural thing, and for that very reason, because it becomes stressful for one woman with children. But I can't support that.
Okay.
No,
I can't. I got to
add that one.
If you all are going to do that, just make sure that women have the same option. That's
that
all
women
I'm
have the same
okay,
option.
I got that.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that.
Okay, Ms. Blake. But, Ms. Blake,
yes,
if the woman is not able to take care of the one man, how in the world can she take care of three or four men? But,
I'm just saying. I know.
Okay.
We're having right. jokes, but the other one may be more energetic. You know.
All right. Jay, what do you say to that? Ms. Blake said that give the women the same option.
Well, you know what they say about life? Life isn't fair.
Oh.
good answer. Good answer.
I like that.
Jay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to look at some of these comments that have come in. We're going to give you the first one, Jay, as a matter of fact. In reference to tonight's topic, as you complain about your significant other, are you really doing your part in the relationship? This female writes in and says, this is exactly what I experienced in my relationship with my ex-husband. He expected me to be there for him for all his needs when he failed to understand that I need his help around the house and then we could be more passionate with each other. I really don't think some men get it. Jay, what do you say to that? We'll give you the first comment.
Well, it's all relative. How much help does she need? What is she asking him to do? Is she asking him to mop, you know, do laundry, fold clothes, you know, scrub the windows? What is she asking? How much help does she need? No, because I'm serious. Some women I have you doing it all, and they sitting back with their feet up.
Okay. That's an interesting part. Let's go to the phone line. Maybe somebody will respond to that question, Jay. Let's go to 919-272. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, okay. Hello. I've been saying hello. Did y'all hear me?
No, we just heard you now. Who do we have on the line with us? 919-272.
Okay, this is Christy. Oh, okay.
Hi,
this
Christy.
Is Christy. Okay,
mm-hmm,
I
yes.
know we don't have much time, and I haven't heard everything. But I have a question in reference to, I hear what you all are talking about, men helping around the house and stuff like that. Okay, and I heard your comment, Dr. Walker, as well. Okay, when it comes to, yes, helping around the house, I feel, you know, I mean, to an extreme, men are not going to do what we women do and the way we do it. No, we know that. But when it comes to children, and when you have young children, should that husband help with those young children? I'm saying as far as with husband and wife help, but mainly I'm talking about the husband. Should he help? Okay, like for a scenario. Okay, somebody in there, maybe 39 or something like that. They have three children. The wife is always doing everything basically for the children. And then the husband basically, okay, when it comes to even they have one boy and two girls, the husband is always worried about just getting himself dressed and not even helping the wife. And then we'll leave the wife home. They're both going to the same church, leave the wife home, feeding the children. The kids are not dressed, but he's left to go to church, and he's ready. Is that right? And should a mother say anything?
Can
okay,
I say this one,
gonna,
Dr. Walker?
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Blake. We got about
because
8 minutes, and then.
Right. I have been married. I hear what you're saying, and I know what that's like. And, no, the husband should be helping out. I made my husband so much a part of the experience until even when I breastfed, I woke him up at night to go bring the baby to me because I'm like, we sharing in this experience.
Thank you.
You know, Ms. Blake, you know what? It hurts me to laugh for some reason, but I almost laughed out and hurt myself over here because I thought you were about to say, we sharing this experience. You're going to have to let something come out, buddy.
So, Dr. Blake, so again, my question is, so even though the mother sees little things, no, she doesn't live in the house, but she sees little things, should the mother say something to that man? Because then the daughter, the mother-in-law, right, say something to that man.
No.
Because then the daughter is always the one getting sick. Because she has
no.
a lot of stress on her.
Right, but the answer
no, I do. I don't think it's the mother's
right.
place, the mother-in-law's place. I think it's that child's place that, you know, all of us as humans, our cup runs over. And I think when that child has had enough, then they will do, hopefully, what the right thing is. But I think it becomes the mother's place to let her child know, don't be a fool out there. That I mean, that's my
take. Okay, but you know what? You got some older men that when they have younger women, they really, the younger child is like a little puppy or something. They got to do everything the older man says, okay?
Yeah, we're going to do a different show on that, Christy. We're going to do that one in about 2 weeks. We'll do that one in about 2 weeks. We've got to finish up these comments that have come in. Jay, I don't think we answered your question. Jay, let's go back. Reiterate your question just briefly for us if we didn't answer that.
Well, I don't know what question you're referring to, but I would say that's a plug for older men getting younger women right there.
Uh-huh. It is a plug.
That's a plug.
But,
what, Jay?
Yeah.
We're going to give you some life coaching.
I'll
work
that for a second.
Yeah, Jay, we're going to bring you in just 1 second. Christy, I do want to say to you that I believe that it's the mother's part to just, that's not right. That's not fair in the relationship. And that's part of abuse. That's part of abuse. That's
right.
Just what I want to say.
Right.
Jack, let's bring you in, Jack.
Well, I was going down that line there, and it doesn't matter that he's older. She's still a woman. She still should be able to voice her concerns. Now, if she's a puppet on a string, that's different. Then I think the mother is right. If she sees what's going
Thank
on,
you.
The child is being abused, then she should step in and say something. I mean, whether he likes it or not, because this is my child. This is my
Thank
child
you.
That you're abusing like that. So you do have to say something. Now, you can good in good taste. Now, don't forget now, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So you can
right.
do it in good faith and let them know, you know, I mean, you can't help out. I mean, that's what it's all about. Marriage is a two-way street. And maybe you can go indirectly talking to them rather than talking to them directly and all. Maybe they can catch it, you know, as you're going indirectly sharing some things with them. But if they don't get it then you go directly to them and tell them this is what needs to be done. That's how I feel.
Right. It is different when there's abuse taking place. I need
yeah.
to clarify that,
yeah.
too.
Let's go in and bring in another caller.
What she said? What did she say?
I didn't hear what she said either.
I just wanted to clarify because I said no in the beginning, but it is different if it's an abusive situation. That's a different
right.
situation.
That's right.
Yeah,
but
because
when you know that the child is getting sick all the time because she has so much pressure on her, and the child doesn't have to say anything, you see things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always ready, and then they – so when the church doors open, they're ready to go. But then the girl, the mother with the three kids, you know, she got to be home cooking, doing everything, which makes her way late because she doesn't have the help that she should be having.
Right. I think that there is something going on there. Let's bring in another call, 954-226. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Glo. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, did you have a comment or a question? We got to go to a comment.
I was just going to say with that last caller with the three kids, I think that first the mother needs to talk to her daughter because, you know, if they're married, it's not really the mother's place to go and talk to that son-in-law about that issue. But I think she should first talk to her daughter and see exactly, you know, what's going on and maybe coach her daughter into what, you know, how she needs to approach the husband and talk
okay.
to him about
if she's tried that,
him.
Right, and I understand
oh.
that. And if she's tried that, but the man more or less has control over and still is not helping the way they, she's probably tried that, but because the child is younger, it's just like, you know, it's whatever I want to do, I'm going to do my thing, and then, you know, you got it all on you. Okay, and I'm sure there's probably some men out there that have the whole responsibility, too, that maybe the women not even helping.
Right. Well, I think, I guess a mother, if that's going to hurt a mother, and if it's her child, she is going to want to say something.
Thank
that's
you,
right.
that man.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I can certainly understand that, but sometimes it,
right.
it puts them where it seems that they're crossing the line, the legal line. But anyway, you know, sometimes you got to go with your gut feeling, regardless of anything else that's going on, and then be ready for the consequences. Because sometimes when that mother steps in, what's to say that that man doesn't retaliate and take it out physically? You know, he's been mentally abusive. What's to say that he won't take it out on her physically now? What's to say that? I think that well, see, you can hope and pray for everything. But then living in America, and I'm not sure what the situation is, but living in America, you have so many domestic laws now that protect women from any kind of abuse. And I don't think anybody anywhere, living in America at least, have to live under anything where even the appearance of abuse is evident. And so until sometimes a lack of knowledge causes us to be destroyed, the lack of knowledge that the Bible talks about, and it doesn't just mean the knowledge of God. It means the knowledge of what's going on. So this child, as they receive education and coaching, like someone said earlier, that might make a difference.
Yeah, you can't do no more than what you know.
You can't do no more than what you know, and I agree with that, Jack. So
well,
we're through our time. We won't even be able to get to the other comments that have come in. We're going to continue. We'll do the show, Christy, that you mentioned in about 2 weeks. Send us a text or a message on that, and we'll record that. And then in the third week, we'll do part two on this one. Next week, we're coming back with that heated topic that we had last week, and that is why do some women always seem to be mad in their relationships? I hope that you all have had a good evening this evening. Just quickly, let me ask a few of my callers, Jack. Let's begin with you, and then, Jay, we'll go to you, and Ms. Blake, we'll let you close it out. As you complain about your significant other, are you really doing your part in the relationship? Let me just get you all closing thoughts on that. What part should a person be doing? Jack, let's start with you. You know, when it comes to relationships, to find the shortcomings in themselves.
Well, I think if you go back all the way back to the Bible had the blueprint right, that the wife is there to be the guide of the home, and the husband is there to make sure that he takes care of the wife. So he's to love her and make sure that everything is taken, supply all the needs, provide all the needs for her and all. But she's there. She's there. If she's home and doesn't have to work, then he won't have to worry about her fixing herself up and basically being there, you know, with the children and all. And he won't have to do that when he comes home. That's what I'll say.
All right, Jay, let's go to you real quick. We're like less than 10 seconds away.
Okay, I think that logic applies to a different age and time. Right now we live in a society where people use their brains to make money, and these women are brilliant. And so some of them are the providers for the home because they are brilliant. Just what they can make, a laborer is not going to make that same thing. However, the idea about spiritual head of the home, yes, that applies.
Okay, and I think, Jay, on that, and then Ms. Blake, we'll bring you in for the last word. I've often heard that unless you learn to change with the times, keeping your spiritual and other moral beliefs within perspective, you become victimized by the times if you don't learn to change with times. So I think that becomes very important. Ms. Blake, we'll just bring you in for the final thoughts. While complaining about your significant other, are people recognizing their own shortcomings? I don't think that they are. I mean, many of us, but you give us a final word, Ms. Blake.
I think sometimes they don't, and we always have to look introspectively. And as far as couples are concerned, these days a couple comes to an agreement as to their roles. It may not be what we think is traditional, but whatever those defined, agreed roles are, they should adhere to them.
I think on that note, we're completely out of time.
That was the best one.
Thank you all for okay. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We ask that you stop by and join us on Friday evening for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.